Each and every day, we face a whole catalogue of choices, don't we? From the moment we get up to the moment we go to bed, we have choices. We choose what we're going to wear. We choose what we're going to eat. We choose what time we're going to leave the house. We choose how to spend our time. We choose what we're going to say. We choose how we will spend our money. Thousands and thousands of choices every day. Some choices are simple. Some are fairly complex. Some choices are rather mundane choices. Others are pretty serious. But isn't it true that we need God's constant help as we make our choices day by day? Perhaps you have come to the worship of God this evening and there's this one thing on your mind, a choice that you have to make. How will you choose what is right? Or perhaps your mind is filled with a choice that you have made in the past and you're living today with the consequences of that choice. And how you wish that you had made a good choice. We want to think this evening a very practical subject. How can we make good choices? God's word, we believe, is our manual for life. And so this evening, his word comes to us from Genesis 13, and it's so very helpful, packed with practical lessons for us. We're going to look at the example of two men. One man made a wise choice, the other a foolish choice. One man a good choice, the other a terrible choice. One man was Abram, the other was Lot. Now let's recap on where we've been. Abram, we saw at the beginning of chapter 12, has been called by God. He'd been called by God to move to another land that God himself would show him. And it all started so good. Abram got up and he obediently and very simply followed God in faith. But a famine hit. And when the famine hit, Abram, without any instruction from God, decided on his own notion and common sense, Abram decided to go down to Egypt. And it was at this point that he claimed that his wife Sarai was only his sister because he was scared that Pharaoh would kill him. And so with that terrible episode now behind him, Abram is now back in Canaan. He's back in the promised land. And we're told that he and his nephew Lot were doing fairly well for themselves. They raised sheep and other livestock, and they're extremely well off. We see this in verse 2. Abram had become very wealthy in livestock and in silver and gold. Verse 5. Lot, who was moving about with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents. Verse 6. Their possessions were so great. So we have these two men, and they have lots of livestock, lots of possessions once they've come out of Egypt. Now, they've had the test of poverty. They had that test of severe famine. Now they have a different test. It's not a test of poverty, but it's a test of plenty. God does that, you know. He brings tests to the Christian. And having more stuff doesn't guarantee having an easier life. And there's this test, and it provokes a quarrel between Abram and Lot and between their farmers. Verse 7. And quarrelling arose between Abram's herdsmen and the herdsmen of Lot. There's this disagreement over the land. There's not enough land for them. And friends, let me say, quarrelling will happen. We shouldn't be surprised when disagreements come our way. We especially shouldn't be surprised when quarrels rise among Christians. But Abram is a wonderful example of how to conduct ourselves when disagreements arise. What does Abram do? He's anxious that there be no quarrelling. He knows, as verse 7 tells us, they're surrounded by their unbelieving enemies. Abram knows this is no way for God's people to act. This is no way to act in front of the watching world. This is no way for family to get on together. And so he says in verse 8, "Let's not have any quarrelling between you and me, or between your herdsmen and mine, for we are brothers." And friends, I believe very strongly most of our problems in the church would be solved if we would remember those four little words, "For we are brothers." Let's not quarrel, Abram says, "for we are brothers." Look at these people watching us. We are brothers. We tend to forget that in the heat of the battle, don't we? Abram realizes that the only way this is going to be solved is that they part company. And so in verse 9, he brings this suggestion. "Is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left." And they have this choice. We want to see three things this evening from this episode, particularly about making good choices. Firstly, the choice to walk by faith or by sight. The choice to walk by faith or by sight. Actually, when Abram brings this suggestion to Lot, Abram has already made his choice. Abram chooses to trust God. That's his choice. It's clear he's going to believe God. He's learned the lesson from that terrible spell in Egypt. And he's not going to try and manufacture God's blessing anymore. He's content to leave his future in God's hands. And he trusts that the promises God made to him will come to him someday. And Abram chooses to walk by faith. He considers others better than himself. And this godly old man graciously and very generously gives Lot the first pick. I wonder if we would have given Lot the first pick. Lot should have turned round and said, "No, no, no. Uncle Abram, you're my father in the faith. You're the one that God has been speaking to all along. You're the one, actually, who really owns all these animals. You choose." But no, that's not what Lot says. For a moment, think about this man, Lot. Think of all the blessings he has had. He's been with his uncle Abram all along in this journey, even in the land of Egypt. He has seen firsthand what a foolish choice leads to. But unlike Abram, Lot hasn't learned the lesson. Look at the foolishness of Lot's choice. Verse 10. "Lot looked up and saw that the whole plain of the Jordan was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt toward Zoar." Verse 11. "So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan." Not a hint of asking God. Not a hint of considering what God has said. Lot doesn't see through the eyes of faith. He doesn't see what Abram sees. Lot only sees what he can get. He only sees through the lens of possessions and riches. And he chooses simply by what he can see, rather than what he knows. I must confess that until I studied this passage this past week, I never really gave Lot much weight in my mind. I always thought he represented the unbeliever in this story. But Scripture is quite clear that Lot is a Christian. In 2 Peter 2, verse 7, we read of Lot being a righteous man. 2 Peter 2, verse 7. So he's a Christian. But he's a very wobbly Christian. He has spent his whole life so far tagging along onto Abram's faith. And now he makes a foolish decision. A decision based only on what he can get. He chooses with the eye of sight rather than the eye of faith. Isn't this a lesson to us, friends? We face choices every day, some of them big, some of them small. And we have to decide whether to walk by faith or by sight. What about the young Christian man applying for jobs? A job comes up over the water. Perhaps it's promotion, maybe. Looking at it from the eye of sight, it looks tremendous. A great salary, fantastic holidays, a swanky house, a season ticket for the local football team. Looks amazing. But there's no evangelical church within an hour's drive. How would you advise him? Or what about the 18-year-old girl who's never had a boyfriend before? She meets a young man at the students' union, and he's smart and funny and sporty and good-looking, and he's interested in her. And lots of other girls would love to be seen with him, but he's not a Christian. How would you advise her? Or what about the teenage boy who is extremely gifted at playing the flute? And he's asked to come and audition for the Ulster Orchestra, and he passes the audition no problem. He's then told that he has to be at 4 of the next 5 rehearsals before he can take part in a concert. But the rehearsals take place on a Sunday. How would you advise him? You see, friends, over and over, we are faced with the choice of walking by faith or walking by sight. Now let's look at these two men, look at their choices, look at the outcomes. We want to think secondly. The choice to walk by sight brings terrible consequences. The choice to walk by sight brings terrible consequences. And this, of course, is Lot's choice. We're going to be looking at Lot here. Lot chooses to walk by sight. Quite predictably, he chooses the most fertile land. He has visions of the good life. And he goes eastwards to seek his fortune in the plain of Jordan, a lavish, well-watered area. Moses tells us it was like the Garden of Eden, a very rich, fertile place. Why does he make this choice? Well, because his faith was weak. He doesn't trust God to bless him. Lot's living by sight, not by faith. No record that he prayed for wisdom. No record that he asked what was best for his family. Instead, it seems Lot is motivated more by excitement and profit. He should have been asking, he should have been thinking, where can I serve God best? Where is the best place to raise my family? No doubt he went with great intentions, but his choice brought terrible consequences. That's not to say that there weren't warning bells ringing. In verse 10, this place that he goes to is described as like the land of Egypt. Now that should ring a warning bell to Lot. He's just come out of Egypt. He knew what a terrible choice Egypt was. This place is like the land of Egypt. Verse 11 tells us that he had to travel eastwards to get to this place. All along in Genesis, travelling eastwards is travelling away from God. Each time people travelled eastwards, they were travelling away from God. And then verse 12 tells us that the place he was going was near Sodom. And it's described as having extremely wicked men. The warning bells, the warning signs were all there. But Lot chooses by sight. And this choice was the beginning of his gradual but steady spiritual decline. Now we see in verse 12 that he moved his tents near Sodom. And if we glance through his life through Genesis, we see that in chapter 14, verse 12, he's now living in Sodom, no longer near it, but he's living in Sodom in chapter 14. The next time we see him in chapter 19, he's sitting at the gate of Sodom, which is Old Testament speak for being on the city council of Sodom. He's actually one of the leaders of the people of Sodom. This decision that he made just escalated, and he lost his wife. He barely escapes Sodom with his own life, and he's got his two daughters with him. And the last we hear of him in the Old Testament is that he's hiding in a cave where his daughters get him drunk and they commit incest with him. And the offspring of those disgraceful nights were the Moabites and the Ammonites, who would be two of Israel's worst and biggest enemies. And it all began with Lot's choice. One foolish choice. And there's this downward spiral. He didn't reckon with the fact that he would be pulled by the evil around him. Moses is very clear in verse 13 that the most wicked men on the planet are next door. They were a step below normal sinners, it seems. There's few passages in Genesis that describe the wickedness of people so strongly as verse 13. The men of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord. How Lot must have regretted to his dying day making this choice. A choice based purely on what he could see, yet it led to tragic consequences. Friends, how we choose matters. What job you choose matters. Where you choose to live matters. How you choose to run your home matters. What church you choose to belong to matters. How you choose to be committed or otherwise to that church matters. Our choices matter. Don't we need God's grace and wisdom in making our choices? Because they can have such terrible consequences if we make them purely by sight. So that's the second thing we see this evening. The choice to walk by sight brings terrible consequences. But then thirdly, the choice to walk by faith brings great blessing. The choice to walk by faith brings great blessing. This, of course, is Abram's choice. We're told that Lot lifted up his eyes and chose the land that seemed best to him. And he took off for the good life, and he leaves Abram literally in the dust. In dusty Canaan, there has just been this severe famine. And in verse 14, we read that Abram is standing there at the top of the mountain. He sees Lot and his people disappearing, heading for the green grass. He looks around him.